There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is go back to 1700, 1776, as a matter of fact, to that declaration that was authored and signed by those who were with the Committees of Safety. And that is, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to, the primary purpose of that is right there in that first paragraph. Number one, dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. And to two, number two in that first paragraph is to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. Number three is a decent respect for the opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. From that, you can see how the Committees of Safety have their action plan. They are to assume amongst the powers of the earth a separate and equal station in order to make the government behave in a manner that is consistent with the laws of nature and nature's God, which, of course, is don't covet, don't steal, don't lie, don't murder, you name it. Don't put "in God we trust" on a currency that is enslaving us. That's hypocrisy. That's against the third commandment. So, the National Liberty Alliance has been doing an outstanding job in declaring the causes which impel us to that separation in this day and age, because the political bands were the Whigs and the Tories back in 1776. Today, they're the Democrats and the Republicans. Just like in the first century, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Then today, and it was the overturning of the money changers, and our money was overturned back in 1965 when they took the silver out of the coin, which is against Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. So that laying the framework for where I'm going with this as far as an action plan, that should be the kind of the filter of all that we do, in my opinion, based on historical facts that cannot be refuted. So therefore, what I'm going to do is I am going to start with how this handbook is written, and the handbook is very well written in that it reiterates, and I'm going to reiterate what I read last week on page 5. On page 5 of the handbook, it's the purpose of the National Liberty Alliance and how it fits in with the Committees of Safety. As I read last week, the National Liberty Alliance came into being because our elected servants were ignoring the Constitution for the United States, which was ordained by we the people. That's what it says in the preamble. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, and so on and so forth. You know how it reads. In our endeavor to establish a way that we, the people, might exercise our consent of governance, we discovered that we, the people, had two processes for consent that our founding fathers used to frame our nation. These were passed to their posterity and were. Now, it says their posterity, and, there's some questions as to how this Constitution actually came about. But nonetheless, they are in error in the way they are implementing it as far as the government that we currently have goes. So we're going to kind of point out those things as we go through. There's, number one, the political process through the Committees of Safety that morphed into the elected committeeman that George Washington called the engines of government. Now, before the National Liberty Alliance became the National Liberty Alliance, they were the New York State committeemen. So that's where Committees of Safety Handbook is coming from, which actually is very, very important to what it is that the Committees of Safety are attempting to do nationwide. Number two, on page 5, is the judicial process. through unfettered grand and trial juries that in a stunning 6-3 decision, whereas Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither a part of the judicial, executive, or legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. See United States versus Williams. A copy is found in this handbook, and see the index in this handbook that we're reading from. Could you mute out whoever is talking, please? And can you mute out, please? From the website committee.org, which was Robert Bristow's site that I was introduced to when the Committees of Safety came on to the National Liberty Alliance, there is, it's called committee, committee.org. There is a page there that says, what good can Committees of Safety do today? So I'm going to read an excerpt from that. Just a few of the things that a community working with itself and other communities within the state and around the country can achieve today. And it has bullet points, and I'm going to read the bullet points because it is all very, very important as far as developing an action plan for your particular community. Conduct political efforts within the community. Join with others in the state to make concerted political efforts. If something needs to be changed or a bill needs to be supported, get on board with it. Participate in national political efforts. Let them know that it's not just the Democrat and Republican Party. It is we the people that are the important thing here, and most constitutions have got or acknowledge that the people are the political powers and they have a right to alter, reform, or abolish as they see fit any form of government that is not doing what it is supposed to do. That's also in the Declaration of Independence. Provide educational seminars, meetings, and publish educational information. There is a vast cadre of information on the National Liberty Alliance site, as well as free courses in the Constitution and civic action. Network with others of like mind around the country, which is what we're doing tonight. Publish their web page here, and this is free to all committees of safety, and this is the committee.org, and it is a very good template for the committees because it was one of the first that were up there in this generation. I mean, any generation for that matter. Computers aren't that old. Okay. So join together to provide assistance to members of the local, state, and national community that find themselves in need. Hurricanes, man-made and natural disasters. Be on the alert. Provide funds for families of patriots imprisoned by the federal government. If you can, if there is a need, provide hubs of communication to investigate wrongdoings of the government within the community or in the surrounding areas. And that's where the FOIAs come in, or the right to know in your particular state, Freedom of Information Act. Find out what it is that they're doing, who they belong to. Follow the money trail as well as the political trail and the families that are involved. Consistent with the procedures provided in this National Liberty Alliance Committees of Safety Handbook, select leadership from those you know within your community. And this handbook has got ways in order to do that, in order to make yourself known, get on a list so that people know who to call, take the vow. It's all the paperwork you need is in this handbook, and there is a place to send it. Send local delegates to state state sessions if and when warranted. Likewise, should a national convention be necessary, also make sure that you have local delegates to send there so that you're not kept out of any loops and that you have a say for you and your community. Back to the handbook on page 7. Oh, I'd really like to say, is there any questions at this time? But I promised I'd keep it to an hour, and I'm hoping that I can. Okay, so back to the handbook. If you're following along and have the handbook open, go to page 7. On page 7, it says, only the people can save America. We, the people, must unite with the independence of grassroots control, with an uncontrolling national presence, and a viable plan using the very implementations. The time to take a stand has come, and this was written in 2016. This is 2017 now, so 2017, and it's coming about because of a lot of changes since last year. 2017 will be the year that will answer the questions, do we still have a constitution? Are we a free people? Will we save liberty for our posterity? The answers depend on our action, and I'm changing the word your to our action or inaction today. If we do nothing, we're going to be in trouble. If we do something, at least we will make some sort of a change, because tomorrow will be too late. Now that you understand the danger and solution, you have a duty to empower yourself as one of we the people at the grassroots to take control of your local government and your state and federal representatives by simply requiring them to obey the supreme law of the land. And last week, as you know, we went into this these rules and compliance with the rules, and we set forth the rules that they are to obey based on how their organization, their structure is supposed to be working. So Article 6 of the Constitution says, as far as the supreme law of the land, this is the supreme law of the land as it is understood, okay? All debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption, that goes for the, Articles of Confederation, the territories, and so on and so forth. So all debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. And if I might add, too, okay, all debts contracted and engagements entered into do include Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 4:30 says, in your distress, when all these words shall come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to Yahweh your Elohim. And I'm reading from the Institute for Scriptural Research, and shall obey his voice. Deuteronomy 27:10, and you shall obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim and do his commands and his laws, which I command you today. As you recall, last week it kind of ended with, who was the creator in the second paragraph of that Declaration of Independence. And they serve mammon. I mean, if they have in God they trust, in God we trust on these notes and these coins that aren't even constitutional coins and constitutional money, then we have a discrepancy here, a big discrepancy. So this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Okay? So the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Even without any kind of religious mention here, the fact is that the senators, representatives, legislatures, executive, judicial officers of all the United States and the several states are accepting a coin that is foreign to Article 1, Section 10. So, the Committee of Safety Plan of Action, going to page 13 now. The following is a framework that every Committee of Safety once formed is developing and acting upon quickly, along with the creation of a subcommittee of correspondence necessary for the communications and cooperation between counties and states necessary for the success of our survival physically, morally, spiritually, and nationally as a common law republic. And subcommittees of correspondence. There are people more talented at writing and the English language than some of us will ever be. So find them in your area and give them lots of pens and paper or a computer at that, for that matter. On page 21, the purpose of a plan of action is that whenever the safety of the community is in jeopardy and government is not responsive or has become destructive, such as our federal government has done through disobedience to the law of the land, it is the duty of the people under the common law to form a committee of safety. Today, I mean, they're spraying with, toxic substances and so on and so forth, and weather modification. I mean, you all know what you can go on with in your particular area there. And who's to say that these fellows who are being paid to, be in your area and have family 100 and 200 miles away is going to be in your area rather than taking care of their own family, which I would like to see even better, personally. I think that we all need to learn how to do that. So today, there are many issues that we could point to that would justify the need of a committee of safety. The most prevalent and most concerning is the crash of the Federal Reserve note, the debt, also known as the dollar. That's what prompted me to refer you to the definitions and terms provided in Henry Dunning McLeod's 1892 book, The Theory and Practice of Banking, so that everyone is on the same page when they're talking about the system and how the Federal Reserve System has come about to be the way it is, and we are being bonded in order to print currency. There is no question and what rights are, because when people say, I have constitutional rights, well, yes, you have rights, but they don't come from the Constitution. All rights are marketable because that is something that brings wealth to the individual. That's where, and read that first chapter so that everyone's on the same page in your committees of safety when you start talking about this kind of an issue, because the definitions today are not what they were when the system before 1913, okay? I honestly believe that was their textbook that they used in order to do what they did, the Federal Reserve System. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, but you read it and, put it in your library. There is no question as to the uncertainty of the collapse of the dollar. It's inevitable. And the only question is when. And in that book, toward the end, it shows why these kinds of, the kind of monetary system that we have, it shows why it collapses. Henry Dunning McLeod talks about that in the book, or he had written about it in the book. Okay, so page 47. And that's not the focus of this, by the way. Okay, so page 47. In the National Liberty Alliance Committees of Safety Handbook, you'll see that a judicial action, and it has all the headings and the captions, they begin on page 47. On page 50 begins the actual text of the filed Coram Nobis writ of mandamus. Okay? A quorum nobis, in case you don't know, means before us ourselves. In parentheses, the king. That is the king's or queen's bench. Applied to writs of error directed to another branch of the same court, for instance, from the full bench of the court at Nisi Prius. Mandamus. It talks about a mandamus. It's a writ of mandamus, quorum nobis. Before ourselves, us ourselves, we're bringing this forward, and it's a writ of mandamus. We command, it's Latin for we command. This is the name of a writ, formerly a high prerogative writ, which issues from a court of superior jurisdiction and is directed to a private or municipal corporation. That's why you want to do the FOIAs and the right to knows, to find out how if they're obeying the law. It, because all our venues pretty much are municipal corporations at this particular juncture of time. So it is the writ of mandamus is an issue from a superior court. A court of superior jurisdiction, us, we the people, and is directed to a private municipal corporation or any of its officers, or to an executive, administrative, or judicial officer, or to an inferior court commanding the performance of a particular act therein specified, like to the sheriff, and belonging to his or their public official or ministerial duty, or directing the restoration of the complaint to rights or privileges of which he has been illegally deprived, or suckered into, and I'm adding this, suckered into adhesive and unconscionable contracts, because if you do not comply, you're going to be duly convicted of a crime, as is written in the 13th Amendment, or surmised by it. So the purpose of this mandamus, this was martial law it was talking about, and this came about in 2015, I believe, is when this was written, but I have the date in here somewhere. Okay, so martial law. The purpose of this mandamus is to warn all elected and appointed servants concerning their conscious or unconscious participation in the methodical destruction of the ordained government of the United States by we the people, whereas martial law is for the controlling or occupied nations. Martial law is the imposition of the highest ranking military officer of the military as the military governor or as head of the government, thus removing all power from the previous executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government in violation of the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, guaranteeing to every state of this union a republican form of government and protection against invasion, thereby an act of war against we the people. All participants of such an act will be tried for treason. Martial law is an extreme and rare measure used to control society during war or periods of civil unrest or chaos. According to the Supreme Court, the term martial law carries no precise meaning. Page 53, and this was written and sent on about June 3rd, 2015. This extraordinary judicial action was filed via the U.S. Postal Service in all 94 federal district courts and served upon all parties listed below by fax. All clerks, and you'll have to look at the document online to see all that, because there's 100 and some pages. I wasn't going to, go through every page. All clerks are to perform their ministerial function under penalty of law, USC 182076, to file or deliver to the recipients listed whoever intercepts, obstructs, or impedes will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and that's 18 U.S.C. 1512b. This is a matter of national security, and it is expected that the recipients, being oath takers, read and understand the nature and gravity of the contents of these papers. This official judicial process executed by the Unified United States Common Law grand juries concerning treason against the people of the United States of America in violation of the United States Constitution, Article 3, Section 3, Treason, 18 U.S.C. 2385, advocating the overthrow of a government. They are, imbibing in seditious activities, and some of them don't even know it because they're collecting, this coin from them. 18 U.S.C. 2384, seditious conspiracy. 18 U.S.C. 2382, misprism of treason. 18 U.S.C. 2381, treason. 18 U.S.C. 1349, attempt and conspiracy. 18 U.S.C. 1622, subordination of perjury. 18 U.S.C. 115, treason, sedition, and subversive activities. 18 U.S.C. 4, misprison of felony. The purpose of filing in all U.S. federal district courts was now, because of widespread failing to file 18 U.S.C. Section 2071. Now, this was written, as I recall, during the, Jade Helm, am I saying that right, was being talked about. Judicial action continues on page 63, and that is terrorism in America, conspiracy theorists, domestic terrorists, and mental disorders, okay? The purpose of this next text here, or next submission of mandamus, writ of mandamus, was on June 6, 2015. Was to expose the fascist tactics being used by tyrants that have infiltrated our government at all levels in an effort to enslave the sovereign people of America, classifying sovereign citizens, aka the people, as terrorists or having mental disorders for challenging authority and demanding their unalienable rights. Now, that's why it's important to be able to identify straight from the book, straight from their manual, if that's their textbook that they used in order to do what they did. Go to that first chapter of MacLeod's The Theory and Practice of Banking and find out what rights actually are. And also, as an aside, good mental health is people who feel good about themselves, feel good about others, and are able to meet the demands of life. That, back in the 1980s, was, because I used to work in the field, okay, that was what they said good mental health was. That was those criterias. Feel good about themselves, feel good about others, and are able to meet the demands of life. Difficult to meet the demands of life when you see the nation that you love so well just going in this direction. And especially when you can point out how we've been suckered into these adhesive and unconscionable contracts. Just because if we do not comply, we're going to be duly convicted of a crime. This is, in fact, according to what's written in the handbook here, this is in fact a communist conspiracy is what is being called to destroy America, not a theory as these tyrants would like uninformed people to believe. Conspiracies have been effective for millennia and cause of the ruin of every government that self-destructs. Having to write this mandamus demonstrates that it has become a sad day in America, bearing witness that the people have lost their moral compass, not without help, thereby losing our way and near self-destruction. And the moral compass is right there, the second mandate in that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station. okay? And the laws of nature and nature's God, they're lying to us. They're stealing from us. They're coveting what we have, our rights, in order to monetize them through, enslaving, but bonding us. Very, very interesting. Just follow the words in the proper manner according to your frame of reference. Page 73, Liberty Rising. The purpose of this mandamus, and we're still talking about the same mandamus and the exposing. The purpose of this mandamus is to expose foreign and domestic tyrants posing as Americans that have infiltrated our government at all levels in a concerted effort to overthrow the 50 governments of the United States by seizing their seat of power, our federal, aka Washington, D.C., our federal city, Washington, D.C. Thereby, these tyrants have covertly erected a system which has conspired vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, political operations, and through courts of fiction contrary to the authority by which they claim Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 and 18 prevent the execution of the law of the land resulting in the enslaving of the sovereign people of America. But do notice in Article 1, Section 8, when it's talking about that federal city, what it also says, by secession and acceptance. So when you check that little box that you are a U.S. citizen and they accept you as a U.S. citizen, what have you done? You have ceded from the, not the authorities, but protections and defenses based on your state constitutions. So just be aware of that, because here in Pennsylvania, it's very obvious in our first, the first, what do they call it, Section 1 of the Pennsylvania Constitution, that it's there for our protection. And so look at your state constitution and see where they're crossing the bounds every time you check, and you're realizing that you're ceding yourself and they are accepting you into this federal city, and you become a citizen of that city, and you know where all their baloney applies. We, the sureties of peace, aka the tribunal, upon information received on behalf of we the people of the United States of America in this court of record, declare a state of emergency and orders all federal and state elected and appointed servants to uphold their oaths by guaranteeing to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall forthwith assemble to protect each of them against invasion, in other words, martial law. States are sovereign. The United States are not geographically within the District of Columbia, as fiction would have some believe. We, the people, are not a commodity, merchandise, or chattel, as fiction would have us believe. We, the people, are not subjects or indentured servants of the fictional corporate United States, as fiction would have some believe. However, just remember, secession and acceptance is contract law. These are unconscionable and adhesive contracts that we have over the years been suckered into. The brick and mortar buildings that house the inferior federal courts of the one Supreme Court throughout the Union belong to the people. Said courts were ordained and established by Congress under the authority of the people. We, the people, paid to build them, upkeep them, furnish them, man them, and pay the salaries of all elected, appointed, or hired personnel in them. We've been bonded to do this. We have become the creditors to what it is that these guys are being paid. They are the debtors to us. These courts are district courts of the United States that were hijacked by progressives operating as foreign courts, and the awakened people are now arising to take back our courts and our republic. pursuant to Article 3, Section 2, and Article 6, Paragraph 2, 28 U.S.C. 1332 defines the creation of district courts as courts of record, and therefore under common law, not chancery. Page 78, abuse of power and jury tampering. On numerous occasions across the nation, FBI agents have been sent out by judges to spy on the administrations of some 50 unified state common law grand juries because of the filing of quo warranto filed in all 94 federal district courts on or about November 10, 2014 on behalf of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. These illegal investigations were initiated by judges under color of law without warrant because of this body's RICO's investigations upon the same. These FBI agents also acting under color of law and on behalf of these judges that are under investigation by the grand jury, without warrant, initiated investigations to seek out reasons to arrest jurists in an attempt to intimidate this grand jury into ceasing our unalienable right as an investigative body protected by the Fifth Amendment to investigate their crimes. On one occasion, FBI agents set up one of our administrators in Salt Lake County, Utah, whereas the FBI agent placed a weapon into the hands of a statutory felon and thereby committed a felony prosecutable under both statutes and common law. The prosecutor, acting under color of law, then took the unauthenticated pictures and without affidavits and any lawful evidence, thereby contaminated a statutory grand jury, an act of jury tampering, by illegally persuading the jury to indict without authenticated evidence and affidavits, which are requisite for an indictment to be considered. When the victim was illegally arrested and illegally arraigned, the prosecutor claimed in open court that the victim was violent by association with the common law grand jury and facilitator. Therefore, the judge ordered the victim to be held without bail until trial. This was a vindictive act by the judge and prosecutor in order to chill we the people, an act of felony rescue and fraud by the FBI agents. This body made up of thousands of law-abiding people, many of which are senior veterans within all 50 states, are being targeted as terrorists and as being violent by labeling us patriots, which is code for terrorists, and sovereign citizens, which is code for cop killers. This body is now investigating these unlawful acts for consideration for indictments. Unless the people take their rightful seats in the courts, unfettered by the officers of the court, there will be no liberty in America. The FBI is now on notice that if there is no knowledge of a crime or warrant, they are not to engage on spying on the people. Such an action is a crime, and we will respond from this point on with indictments for the same. So the National Liberty Alliance is willing to step up for people who are involved in these committees of safety. Page 79, repugnant actions. Article 4, Section 4, Paragraph 15 says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from against invasion. And they are to accomplish this under Article 1, Section 8, which provides for the calling forth of the militia by Congress to execute the laws of the union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. And thus by calling calling forth the militia, not the current military that is being paid with a foreign coin and is all volunteer. By definition, they are a mercenary force for the corporate entities. Since the silver was taken out of our coin, they went under the Social Security number. So therefore, it's important to really get a grasp on what the militias were all about and what they were supposed to do. They have not yet done so. There is no constitutional authority of training a standing army. They were only supposed to be for 2 years in the Constitution, especially one made up primarily of foreign troops on American soil. Congress has no, they're accepting foreign coin. What are they? And, you know, and I'm not belittling the military because they honestly don't know. It just happened that I'm of the age that we were military at the time that that happened. We saw the changes. Congress has no authority to legislate such authority, and certainly the administration has no authority to act upon it. Such actions are repugnant to our Constitution, an act of war against we the people. Our founding fathers warned that the militia must never be replaced by a standing army. Today, our nation has the world's most powerful military. 57 government agencies carry guns. Most have their own SWAT teams. The local police are trained in paramilitary operations. America has become militarized, and this tribunal through the writ of mandamus sets its face against such tyranny. And the fact is if they were not law enforcers of these laws that are being put upon us that are totally against the laws of nature and nature's God in most cases, then, you know, that they need to be weaponized because that's just the way they do business. They wouldn't be afraid of us if they understood what their rightful part is, and that is as peace officers, not law enforcers. Okay, so page 85. The administration, under the color of law, has given FEMA complete authorization to put above said orders into effect in times of increased international tension, of economic or financial crisis, in case of any declared national emergency, and that's Executive Order Number 11051. Why? We the people perceive this unholy alliance with foreign powers and actions within our government and invasion of the United States of America as preparations have been made by past and present Congresses and administrations over the past years for the suspension of the Constitution for the United States of America in exchange for martial law. The aforesaid actions can have no other possible purpose than to be interpreted as a coup d'etat from domestic enemies within the governments of these United States of America, orchestrated by domestic enemies within the three branches that occupy our federal city. Hereby, this tribunal is sounding the alarm. Article 4, Section 4 says the United States shall protect every state in this union against invasion. Failure to act will be considered aiding and abetting. Therefore, since Congress failed in its duty to provide for the organizing, arming, disciplining, and training of the militia, Congress shall perform their duty by calling upon America's last line of defense, that being America's only elected law enforcer, the 3,000 elected American sheriffs, to lead the militia, that being we the people, that militia being we the people, being necessary to the security of a free state, to Washington, D.C., to secure the people's seat of government by arresting all judges, clerks, and others who resisted obedience to the preceding quo warranto served upon all Article III courts, thereby opening the doors for the unified United States common law grand juries to initiate investigations for for the presentments of true bills, indictments, against said oligarchy and those who have aided and abetted them. Pages 86 to 87. Wherefore, we the people, through the unified common law grand jury stewards of the common law, resolutely concluded and herein reiterate our cause. Washington, D.C. rules the United States of America on fiction of laws by an oligarchy who fraudulently claim that Congress gave them such authority by some unknown reason or conquest, perhaps by cowards, covetous sedition against the people of the United States of America under Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 17, 18, and thereby, through fiction of law, abolish unalienable rights, claim ownership of the free and independent sovereign states, and now call federal states created as franchises of the incorporated United States of America to control federal citizens residing in the domestic states of the Union. The fraud, and thus secession and acceptance, contract law, but without full disclosure. The fraud now stands exposed to all oath takers who have a duty to preserve the blessings of liberty, and by God's will, such a criminal enterprise cannot survive the light of day. They will not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with their dark cities. Justice is imminent. Page 87. This is the law enforcement problem, not this is a law enforcement problem, not a military problem, this document says. We the people command all legislative, executive, judicial, military, and law enforcement oath takers to remember their oaths and keep them and not obey any unlawful orders and be instructed herein by what authority we the people act in U.S. versus Williams, 1992, that went virtually unnoticed until now. United States Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, said, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. And I think I read this before, but I'm going to read it again. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory is a function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between government and the people. It acts kind of like a mediator. The common law of the Fifth Amendment demands a traditional functioning grand jury. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government governed and administered directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. These are extraordinary times, and therefore it is necessary for we the people, duty-bound through the common law grand jury, to take up the lawful authority vested in us by the governor of the universe and command Congress to execute extraordinary constitutional power. We the people need not the approval of our servants to take up our power and secure our nation. We the people need not the permission of servants to impanel our own grand juries to file writs, informations, mandamuses, and true bills. We reject the arrogance of those who believe or assume power over we the people as their subjects, and we resolutely set our face against them. Pages 88 to 90 are a list of the commands, which I will not read. And this was written presumably by John Durash and others, and sealed on June 6, 2015. Okay, next week, it's 9:51 now, so I'm going to ask for questions and answers, or try to answer questions. But next week, I talked to John about it. I think that if those who are on the call download Lysander Spooner's essay on the jury, I believe. I can't remember the name of it, and I didn't put it on here. Okay, so Lysander Spooner's, his essay, it kind of goes through the historical aspects of assemblies, and it will tell us how the assemblies function historically. And surprisingly, even under the feudal system of England, the assemblies told the landlords and the feudal masters what they would and would not abide by. So just realize there's a lot of historical facts to show how the assemblies can work as common law grand juries just within your own assemblies, you know, in your local areas. Also on the website, you will see in the comments section, you'll see systemic tips for changing a populated system. You'll see about the colonial background and conflict resolution strategies for transition, talking about alternative dispute resolution and how to take the power away from the courts by, you know, working out your own agreements side by side, skills building for mediators, learning how to ask questions in order to accurately identify the problems and then start from there after the problems are accurately identified. Not just, oh, we have a problem with this, that, and the other thing, you know. No, accurately identifying it, because, you know, in accurately identifying the money problem, we find that we have been deemed, you know, bonded as creditors to the printing of the notes back in 1965. Therefore, the borrower is servant to the lender. Or the debtor is servant to the creditor. And all we have to do is just dissolve the political bands that connect us with another, dissolve the Federal Reserve Corporation, you know, for that matter, once we get a hang on what we're doing and we're all unified. And they, you know, have to pay us back, every man, woman, and child, you know, all that they owe us and they bonded us for over the years with interest since 65. Skills building for mediators, asking questions, and undue influence, and how even the lawyers were warned about being, you know, unduly influencing people in order to take their estates. That's all on the comments about systemic tips for changing a populated system. I yield, and if you have any questions, ask star 6. Am I muted?
No, I hear you fine.
Okay, I haven't been talking to myself. Do we have anyone on the call? Did they all leave?
That I don't know. Is there anybody
out there?
Well,
we've still got 29. We still got 29 people.
Oh, that's good. How many were there to begin with?
Well, that implies how many aliens.
We fell.
We take anybody. It's okay. Yeah.
Ship tonight, but we still have better than we used to have.
Okay, are there any questions, any comments, anything that is pertinent to your particular area that you would like to discuss?
No, I just had a question about, this is Jim in New Mexico. Do you think the United States has any gold supply left, or do you think it's all been hauled off to Europe? In other words, if we started printing our own money again.
My personal opinion, poof, it's long gone. Everybody knows that that's an old story.
Well, wait a minute, though. There's more to it, because accurately identifying...
No, there's always more. I'm just making a brief comment.
No, but, you know, seriously, though, is that when silver was taken out of the coin in 1965, in 1973, according, and this is on the Federal Reserve Board website, okay? And if you call up silver and... $40, okay, you'll find that the negotiating or the buying of silver behind the scenes, not on the stock market now, okay, on Wall Street, it's up to like $1,200 and something right now. But behind the scenes, okay, those who are printing the money are buying gold at $40.22 an ounce or something like that. They have been since 1973 or 70, when you know, just after the silver was taken out of the coin. And it's set in law, all right? So when I hear about people talking about, oh, we're going to the gold standard again, well, yeah, just switching one oligarchy for another, it looks like to me, you know, doing the math behind the scenes and, you know, with the statutory price of gold at $40, I mean, there's an awful lot of gold that was bought up, you know, in the past 40, 50 years.
Yeah, and I would think
does that help?
That if I was printing money all I wanted unaudited, I'd be buying as much of that gold as I could, you know.
Well, I tell you, up until 1993, I mean 1993, someone handed me a book from the Richmond, Virginia Federal Reserve, and what was in there? I mean, just it was kind of like you know, something snaps that you kind of get it all together, okay? And when I read in that booklet, okay, that it cost 3 cents at that time, 1993, to print a note of any denomination, and I'm thinking to myself, for every $100 or $100 of my labor that I get a $100 note for, those who print it make $99.97 right off the top, and then I have to pay another $20 to the IRS because 20% was the average for the income tax at that time. And I'm thinking to myself, for every $100 of my labor, I am essentially, what, $1,100.97 indebted to them? Something is definitely wrong here. And
it's a hell of a deal for whoever's in control of that, isn't it? So
exactly. That's why, you know, a long time ago, I guess there was someone who said, I don't care who makes the laws as long as I control the money.
If we ever got back to printing our own money supply again, wanting to back it by gold and silver, we'd probably have to fall back on whatever mines are in America, you know, and
It was originally agriculture. We were the breadbasket for the world, you know. And
Weird? It's like we can't feed ourselves now. And you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, we had all the food we wanted.
Exactly.
That was Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
That's what glyphosate has done to our land. So, okay, I'll shut up. You can go on with.
Do read that first chapter of The Theory and Practice of Banking, because it kind of brings it all together. It brings it all together that everything is marketable. And it all boils down to, it seems like all the cases that I've ever heard of boils down to jurisdiction, title, and ownership. Jurisdiction, where's our jurisdiction? Is it under, you know, the laws of nature and nature's God, or is it under statutory law? As far as title goes.
I saw that about people's birth certificate, and I did look at mine, and it was Midwestern Banknote down in the left-hand corner, 1952.
Yeah. And
then I looked at my brother's, 1949,
yeah,
and his wasn't. His was just like same city, Lubbock, Texas, and his was just, you know, like, well, that was right before they started doing this or something, or got it organized.
Sure.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is just quickly, Gunter from Oregon. We use the most comprehensive documentary that we use for the fractional bank lending system and the history of the banking industry going back to the Roman days is a film called The Secret of Oz by William Still. Has any of you heard of that?
No.
Well, Bill Still has got quite a few out. He's very, very good, very informative.
Okay, good. So you guys are aware of that. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Nikki?
Yes.
This is Cliff from Michigan.
Yes, Cliff.
I got one of the best questions for you, and hearing you speak on it lit a fire under my behind.
Uh-oh. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, no, you should be highly praised up one side and down the other. Where can I find this handbook? Can I get it? I want to read it from front to back. It is awesome.
You're talking about the handbook that I'm reading off of?
You better believe it. That thing caught my attention faster than lightning.
Yeah, it's something that was put together by National Liberty Alliance last year. And it's on the website. Go to nationallibertyalliance.org and then go to the tab that says COS, Committees of Safety. And somewhere on that page, you will find a list of PDFs, and the handbook will be in there. The COS revised the COS handbook, and it was revised in 2016. Anyway, you'll find it. It'll say handbook. In fact, just go to the search engine there on the page that you come to when you get to nationallibertyalliance.org and type in handbook and the COS, and it'll come up that way too. It's a PDF.
Okay, because I was wondering if you actually like had the handbook, because hearing you read from it. It just caught my attention, and I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat hearing everything that you were saying, and I kept thinking to myself, this has got to be better than Rogers' Law Dictionary. Where can I find this thing, and can I read it front to back and, you know, really get, you know, astonished by it?
Sure, and what John Durash does when he writes these papers, which I read from some of them because they were in the handbook and the mandamus, the two mandamuses were in the handbook or in the handbook. So there's 100 and some pages in the handbook, and of course I didn't read every page. But when you go to it, John uses a lot of footnotes, and the footnotes really tell the story about what it is that he's really talking about.
And what's that book called again?
The COS Handbook. Committees of Safety. Am I saying that right, guys?
The guy that's the actual member of National Liberty Alliance is my roommate, Bud. He said that he just got it pulled up.
Oh, okay. He's got it.
That's riding his coattails, actually. But I tell you, I promise I will be taking the Constitution course.
Yes.
I hear it's the hardest one ever, but if it's one that I fight, defend, and give my life for to get our freedom back, then that's what I need to study.
Yeah, I tell you, the civics course was much harder than the Constitution course. But they're both free. Take your time.
Well, on Monday night's call, I asked Gerard, you know, which one, you know, or should I take both? Gerard told me that the civics course, I really don't need to bother with it. But if I'm going to be, you know, paying attention to the Constitution, giving my all in all to it, believing it. You know, believing in it wholeheartedly, you know, then, you know, he said that's the one I should take.
Absolutely.
And, I mean,
absolutely.
Thomas Jefferson didn't go out of his way to write that thing up for no reason. You know, so I ain't doing anything. I guess it wouldn't hurt me to start there. But when you was reading that handbook, I mean, that really caught my attention.
Yeah, it's a lot of study has gone into it, and this didn't just pop up, you know, in the last couple of years. This has been ongoing for many, many years. It's just been, you know, the fraction of people that have been involved have been kind of pushed aside because mainstream media makes them seem like the oddballs, and actually we're not the oddballs. There's more of us than there are of them. given the your personality test and the intellectual test and so on and so forth. So it's just a matter of us connecting one way or the other, and through the internet is the best way. Yeah, we can do
this.
All together. We're not always going to agree, but we can do this because it's, you know, typical group coming together. There is the forming of a group. Then there's the storming that somebody thinks, you know, this, that, and the other. And usually it's just the way they communicate that we have to learn how to understand each people's, you know, communication style. And then there is the norming where everything is, yeah, we do have, we've identified the problems. And using the ideal, the identifying, describing, evaluating in terms of time, money, and effort, and then acting. That is essential to the norming phase and then the performing. When we get to the performing stage, we're going to be great. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And Nikki, I'm so glad that you you mentioned the thing about, you know, communicating with one another.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday night, Paul, I had no problem putting it out there, and I hope it's not inappropriate for me to put it out here on this one. I'm currently on Skype, and if anybody out there, including yourself, Nikki, if you want to join my Skype page and, you know, chat offline or anything, or, you know, get more information, my Skype name is Clifford Dot Geiger, all small case. Hit me up if you want to talk. I'll put you on my Skype account, and I have got no problems. I'd rather learn from Clifford Geiger, G-E-I-G-E-R.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And I'll tell you right now, I do not recall the final final end of school bell being rung, and I would be more than thrilled to learn from you guys than from, you know, from anyone else.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for taking my call, man, and telling me what to do. And you can't even begin to imagine how appreciative I am.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, I'll shut up and let someone else talk.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, Nick, a question.
Sure, go ahead.
I have my handbook open, and I only go up to page 46, and then after that it starts in repeating a whole bunch of things. That's not even halfway through. And you mentioned page numbers a lot higher than that. Did you read numbers?
Page 47. And now you have the PDF handbook open from the website?
Yes.
Okay, on page 47 in the National Liberty Alliance COS handbook, it talks about judicial action, and it got headings. How many pages are in that book that you have, the PDF?
Well, it has 46 numbered, and then that's not even halfway through, but it starts into page 1 of 4 and page 2 of 4, page 2 of 5. You know, it goes into that type of a page number.
Are you looking at the bottom of the page?
Yes.
Are you looking? Okay. Don't look at the bottom of the page. Look at the top of the PDF when it opens, and you'll see there's 106 pages. So what
Gotcha. Thank you. You've answered my question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right, because I was reading off of those mandamuses. You're into the mandamuses. So if you look up there, you'll see page 47. When you type 47 in there, it ought to come up where it... I'm sorry. I'm going
on. I understand it all now. Thank you.
Gotcha. All right. Got it. Any other questions? Comments?
I guess I can stop the recording.
There you go.